Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. What's that lurking just outside your window? A silhouette of a beast that you've never seen. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today we are covering some more allegedly true creepy cryptid stories. These subscribers sent in their stories with what they claim to be creepy cryptid creatures, and of course it is up to you whether you believe them or not. Now, if you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. Now, without any further ado, let's get into these creepy cryptid stories that'll keep you up tonight. My name is Ramsey, and I live in the mountains of Tennessee in the middle of the woods. I've always loved the woods and the outdoors for the most part, but after what I and my friends went through, my love for the woods dwindled. So to set the scene, my backyard is nice for setting out at night and looking at the stars, listening to birds and such. But one night last year it was me and two friends. Their names were Thomas and Joe. It was late, about 10 or so. So it was already dark out, and we were talking and laughing when a smell I can only describe as dead, rotting meat crept around the area. It was horrible, and my friends looked at each other and said the usual, "Ew, gross, you smell that or what the heck?" I immediately became alert and told them what was going through my mind. "Guys, that smell just appeared out of nowhere." They looked at me a bit serious after my statement, and started looking around as well. It was dark, and we had a fire as well, but it didn't help much. As we glanced around, the smell disappeared, and so did our interest. We began talking again, thinking nothing of the smell, until we heard a faint snap in the woods to our right, and the smell of death crept over us again. We quickly ran inside to grab lights to go check out the sound and smell as we were curious. So Thomas grabbed a 20-gauge shotgun we used for property security, in case it was an animal, and we set off into the woods in the direction of the sound. The air was clean, no foul smell or anything. Even going deeper in, nothing changed, so we said, "Yep, it's gone, no need to go deeper." We had walked for roughly a mile or so before we started back. Soon, it got really quiet, and really cold, so we instantly look around, as a very uneasy feeling hit us. The horrifyingly hot smell of rotting meat and flesh washed over the woods, and then my light shot over something in the bushes. It was hunched over, with its back towards me. All I could make out was the size and color. It was huge. It had to be at least 500 pounds, and black. When my light hit the creature, it turned its upper body to look at me. Its eyes were white. Soon after I saw them, the creature smiled, and that's when I screamed, "Bear, bear, turn back now!" We started sprinting through the woods back in the direction of the house, Thomas in front of Joe in the middle and me in the back. As we ran, I heard the creature behind me panting and grunting. I was sure it would grab me and pull me back, but my chubby legs kept going until, bam, I had tripped. I heard it slow to a stop, but I couldn't see it. My light was smashed, but it stopped. It was there. Thomas, out of nowhere, pulled a pump back on the shotgun, and that's when I heard a low rumble, kind of like a crocodile's bellow. I heard the creature turn and walk away. It didn't run, but it walked as if it was not fazed. We were still terrified, so I got up and ran with my friends all the way to the house. When we arrived, we caught our breath, and Joe and Thomas were excited now that it was over. To them, it was a bear, and the fact that we were all alive. I never told them what I had actually seen. I think it's better that I don't talk about it, so they don't think I'm high or lying or anything. It's been a few weeks now, and I can't stop thinking about it. Was it Bigfoot, a skunk ape, or what? I honestly don't know, but I wish I did. This is a story I haven't shared with anyone. What I saw that day in the woods still leaves me in a cold sweat at night. I grew up and lived in the woods my entire life, but after this encounter, I have since moved to the city and never plan on visiting those woods ever again. It all started in October. It was a crisp fall day. The breeze was cool and felt great. So I decided to take a chance and take a nice walk through the woods behind my house. I have hiked, hunted, played, and everything else you can imagine in these woods my entire life. Usually, you don't see much of anything aside from the occasional deer and squirrel around here. I followed a small trail me and my father made a few years back. This trail leads you into the woods for about a mile and ends at a small pond that is settled in a clearing. This pond is rather small, but surprisingly holds some real monsters inside of it. I have caught a handful of 4 or 5 pound bass in the past here. Anyway, back to the story, I decided to stop at the pond and have a seat for a while. It was such a nice day for a nap in the woods, so I did just that. I fell asleep rather quickly and had a nice little dream about fishing the lake and catching a real monster bass. Suddenly, I jolted awake. And can feel that the atmosphere had changed. It was no longer a warm, calming feeling. It felt more malevolent somehow. The birds were no longer chirping and the breeze seemingly stopped. I had this overwhelming feeling that I was being watched by something or someone. At first, I tried to shake it off as nothing and close my eyes again. Not even a minute later, I hear what sounds like a branch snapping. I immediately sat up and scanned my surroundings. Something just felt very wrong about all of this. I stood up and decided it would be best for me to make my way back to the house. I didn't want to be stuck out here with some animal that may or may not have me in mind as its dinner. I began to walk at a rather swift pace to make this mile trek less time consuming. Honestly, I am unsure if it was me freaking myself out or if it was something actually stalking me. But I had the strongest sensation of being watched. I could periodically hear twigs being snapped and what sounded like scurrying. Ultimately, I was fine until I heard this unholy growl from what sounded like 2 or 3 feet behind me. This growl sounded like it was blasting from a distorted radio speaker. It almost sounded staticky, if that makes any sense. This, for whatever reason, caused me to absolutely panic. I began to run like my life depended on it. And in hindsight, this was probably my downfall in the situation. As I began to run, I could hear what sounded like bipedal footfall behind me. At first, I thought maybe some insane homeless person might be chasing me. There are no predators here that run on 2 feet that I know of in the area, so a human being was my first thought. I decided to look behind me to get an idea of what I was dealing with, and to my surprise, there was nothing there. I calmed down slightly after realizing I must have outrun whatever was behind me. This is where I really goofed. Not paying attention to the trail ahead of me, I tripped over a root sticking out of the ground and practically face-planted. I laid there for a moment trying to get my bearings again. After a few moments, I tried to stand up again, only to realize I had hurt my ankle pretty badly. A piercing pain was shooting up my ankle and calf. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to walk back the rest of the way by myself. Wincing in pain, I try my best to hobble forward and get myself home and out of these woods that may or may not be home to some ungodly presence. A few agonizing steps later, I am stopped dead in my tracks yet again. No more than 10 feet in front of me stood what I can only describe as an abomination of nature. This thing was easily as tall as me, if not a bit taller. I stand at about 6'3". It had a pungent odor radiating from its almost decaying skin. It had the head of a bear, the torso of a deer, and the limbs of a wolf. This creature, abomination, whatever you want to call it, is no natural creature of this earth. The look in its cold black eyes seemed so soulless and rage-filled. I just knew this would be how it ends. How could I possibly outrun or fight this thing? This thing let out an ear-piercing scream that is reminiscent of the screams you hear in Jurassic Park movies from the T-Rex. I have never felt so utterly terrified in my entire life. This thing suddenly took off running into the forest to its right. It ran at such a speed that it was a literal blur in my vision. I could hear this thing circling around me in the trees, running at a breakneck speed that would surely trip something up, but this thing remained at a speed for what seemed like minutes upon minutes. As suddenly as it began, it stopped and the entire forest fell silent. Thinking that this was potentially my last chance at an escape, I gathered all the strength I could and ran as fast as I possibly could with this rolled ankle of mine. I kept repeating to myself, "Don't look back, don't look back." If I wasn't going to make it out of this, I sure as hell didn't want to watch this thing maul me to death. As I ran, I could hear this thing gaining on me, and loud and repeating screeches that normally would have had me crapping my pants. But oddly, they somehow motivated me to run faster in this situation. After what felt like hours, I see the opening to my yard and feel safer. But that feeling of safety left as quickly as it had come. Somehow, this thing was now blocking the entrance in front of me. I guess my genius plan of not looking back really came back to bite me. Thinking this was finally it, I began to slow my run and accept my fate. That is until I heard my father calling me from the back porch, which is roughly 20 or so feet from the edge of the woods. The creature seemed to have had a choice in that moment. It seemingly looked at me and then toward the direction of my father. It, for whatever reason, sniffed the air a few times, then ran into the denser area of the forest. I broke through the tree line and almost instantly fell in pain as my ankle was surely even more ruined at this point. I told my family about what I had seen, but somehow, I don't think they truly believe me. My 11-year-old self and my family, one younger sister who was 9 at the time and my older one who was 17 and the oldest who was 21, my mom and dad went for a week-long trip to a small, 2-bedroom hunting cabin that had property of about 100 acres in South Iowa. My dad and I would usually go hunting whilst my mom and the others would stay curled up at home. I, my 9-year-old sister, and 17-year-old sister had to sleep outside in tents. My sisters had the 2-man tent whilst I had a swag. At about 6 a.m. on the fourth night, I was coming out of the cabin from going to the bathroom when I saw this starving, looking creature, easily 2 meters tall with a deer skull as its head. It had the biggest set of deer antlers I have ever seen. It was sniffing around my sister's tent, so being the protective brother I am, I pull out the hunting knife I always carry on me and charge at it. It must have seen me, cause it turned and bore its razor-sharp teeth and at least 2-inch claws at me. I continued, and it saw I wasn't backing down, so it let out the most agonizing screech I have ever heard. I instantaneously collapsed on the ground covering my ears. I watched as it slowly jerks itself towards me. If it wasn't for my dad putting a bullet straight through its shoulder, I'd probably be dead. The screech intensifies and my ears begin to bleed and my dad puts the second round straight through its head. The creature sways and then turns and runs into the woods, but
It didn't run like a man. It ran like an antelope, taking strides easily 5 meters at a time. All through the next day, my dad and I searched the woods following the blood trail, but we found nothing that day. We booked a flight back to Australia soon after, and we are never going back to America. I don't know what that thing was, and I was hoping that you could tell me, because the screech that it let out and its dead black eyes will forever haunt me, along with its jerky movements. How could something survive a headshot like that? This is stressing me out all over again. Please give me some information on what it is if you have any, and thank you for sharing my story.
I was about 10 years or so when I first heard my dad tell this story. Begins telling this story one evening while he had some friends over, and they had been reminiscing about old times. Now, I must say that my dad used to drink, and this story happened with his drinking buddies. This would have been in the late 70s to early 80s. My dad was an avid hunter. On this particular evening, he went out with 5 of his friends. The area they went hunting borders National Forest Service known as Charlie's Creek, which is located in the extreme North Georgia mountains. This area was and still remains accessible only by 4x4 vehicles or ATV. They meet back at the old Jeep Wrangler at dusk to start the long journey out of the woods. Now, none of them had any luck that day, so they had some beers and headed out of the woods. The road has never been paved, so it's very rugged. Dad said they had not been driving but a few minutes when they heard a weird blood-curdling scream come from behind them. The noise shot shivers up his spine. He thought to himself maybe it was the beer that he had consumed messing with his mind. About that time, one of his buddies asked if anyone else had heard that sound. Then, another blood-curdling scream echoed throughout the valley. The driver came to a stop and they looked around the darkness to see whatever was making the skin-crawling scream. Dad said the glow from the taillights revealed a set of glowing red eyes illuminating about 5 feet from behind the Jeep. Dad said it was light-colored, if not totally white, frozen, just staring at the men, staring back at whatever this creature was. One of Dad's friends let out a growling scream to scare it off into the darkness. Instead of scaring this thing, the creature mocked it back in the same sound, without hesitation. The driver took off and the animal proceeded to follow. Dad said that about every 5 minutes the creature would scream, sounding just like the friend did in that last scream. When they would have to brake, they could see its red eyes staring back at them. It never got closer than approximately 5 feet though. Then, another one of the men let out a different sounding scream, and the animal repeated it right back at them once again. My dad said they all took turns making animal noises, and each time the animal would sound eerily similar to how each man sounded. They were thinking at some point this was a panther, but was confused about how it seemed to mock each man when they hollered at it. Also, panthers are not native to this area. When someone asked Dad to describe and compare the sound to something, he said it sounded like a woman in distress or a child in pain. After about 20 minutes of this animal following my dad and his buddies out of the deep dark woods, they reached pavement and civilization. Dad said the driver had been driving about a half a mile or so and would stop the taillights to reveal that the animal had stayed behind them as none of the men had flashlights. Once again on the pavement, the driver stopped again and it sounded this time like the creature had hooves. They had not noticed this distinct sound before because of the dirt road they had been on. They continued to drive about 5 miles per hour just to see how far this creature would follow them out of the deep woods. As they came to a house that was on the side of the road, their headlights revealed the man's silhouette that lived there, sitting in his rocking chair. My dad and all his buddies knew this man, so they stopped right in front of his house. As the man stood up, towering over 6 foot tall, he clicked on his flashlight, shining the light right on this creature. It seemed unfazed. One of Dad's friends fired a shot from his deer rifle at the creature. It took off running while screaming one last scream up the bank inside this man's house into the darkness. The man asked my dad and the other men What in the world was that with concern in his voice? He said that he had been sitting on this porch listening to it for over 20 minutes trying to figure out what it was as it got closer and closer to his house. He too had a rifle ready to shoot whatever was making these demonic sounds. Dad said this man continued saying that he had never in his 70 plus years of living there heard such a scary sounding creature. Dad and the other men agreed that they had never heard anything like it, and what really made them question this creature is that it had hooves. Dad told the story a couple of more times throughout the years, and it was always the same. I know my dad would never lie about this. One of the men told me the same version later when I was grown, too. I often think of this, and what it could have been, especially when I go to this area. My brothers and I are huge fans of the channel and listen to almost everything you put out. We had this creepy encounter which sounds somewhat like a skinwalker, but this was in southeast Queensland, Australia. My twin brothers K, I, and L grew up on the east coast of Australia, not far south of Brisbane. We regularly hung out with our mates from down the road, M and C. Their family were the caretakers of 40 acres of land, most of which were mangroves and swampy bushland. We did heaps of things on the property. We rode motorbikes, shot films, burned stuff, and played some after-hours games like Spotlight and a Commando Bush version of hide-and-seek called Hunters. This happened in October 2018. It was nearly 11 p.m. one night, while we were playing this game on the motorbike track surrounding the forest of M's property. There was a few of us at the time, including myself, my twin brother, and my old friend S, whom we haven't seen for many years. M and C, their mate F, and cousin J were also there, and my partner at the time, A, was also there. It was a moonlit night, and visibility was pretty high without any torches. After a few easy rounds of following the giggling and stomping in the bush, it was finally my turn to be the hunter. I squatted on the ground and waited for everyone to hide. Listening carefully as I did, I noted that a few people went into the bush while most of them ran up the track towards the house. I thought it best to follow the group that went to the bush as they were alone and probably smarter and a greater asset. After silently stalking the people into a clearing, I lost sight of them. I stood there for some time. Now this next part is from my brother's perspective. We had played a few rounds and I was usually last to be caught. I liked the time between hiding and being caught as I always got to just lay in the grass or cover myself with branches and just take in the night air and gaze at the stars. But this night, after the second round started and I was hiding for nearly 20 minutes, I was gazing at the stars and I started thinking of all the YouTube stories I'd been listening to. Stupidly, I thought at the time, all of a sudden, it got pretty darn quiet, and I felt like someone was out there. It couldn't have been L, as he was seeking at the time, and he had already run right past me. Now, the rest of the story will be back in my perspective. My brother whistled at me, laughing. He explained how he was getting tired of sitting in the spiderwebs. I suggested that he would take the folks that went up to the house while I went after the other ones in the forest as I could hear their voices. He looked confused and informed me that there was no one else here. I shrugged it off and told him that I could hear giggling deeper in the trees and began walking through the shrubs. I noticed a foul stench and thought it was probably the swamp. I followed the voices deeper and deeper into the bush. The ground was turning muddy and the trees turned into swampy reeds and mangroves. The childish giggles were leading me deeper and deeper into the marsh. I thought to myself, how strange the voices seemed to be carried on the wind, as if the people I were pursuing were moving much faster than I could. I was standing on the edge of the swamp, the last patch of grass looking into the lump of trees about 10 meters away, when everything went dead quiet. It sounds cliche, but you don't know how it feels until you experience it for yourself. It was as if reality had come to a grinding halt, and all my senses were on full alert. I froze. I felt as if someone was watching me, and my heart began to race. The only thing that seemed to break the trance was my brother's voice a few meters behind me. Suddenly, a bird flew from the trees making a screeching sound as it flanked me and disappeared into the black. I looked at my brother and remarked, "Oh my God." As we looked at each other, we heard an ungodly, piercing scream from up at the house. It was like the echo of at least 10 children squealing, mixed with the sound of a car tire, echoing from over 100 meters over the field. We ran as fast as we could up to the house. My brother and I found the rest of our friends huddling in the front seat of their dad's utility truck with the doors locked. When we asked them if they were screaming or what was making that noise, they looked angry at us and told us to stop pranking them. "Seriously, guys, cut it out. It's not funny," one of them said. We spoke our honesty, telling them we had come running to see if anyone was hurt. Everyone looked confused and generally freaked out, so we all went inside and sat down. After convincing everyone that no one was playing a prank, we decided to go out and look for anyone in the surrounding streets that may explain the childish, ghostly screams. They were dead quiet, as expected nearing midnight. There were also no houses near to our mate's house except for one which had burned down and had to be cleared thereafter. My twin brother and I did some research on Australian encounters with creatures. He is a big fan of the Swamp Dweller channel and stories, and soon he introduced me to the swamp. My brother said it's striking how similar to some of these stories are to our experience. We found some stuff about the lost generation of Aboriginal children and the various stories and encounters of their ghosts, but one line stuck with me forever. In regards to Aboriginal folklore and cryptids, it is not the ones they tell you about you should fear, but the ones they don't, or rather are not allowed to tell you about. I guess you could say I was a normal girl, just playing a video game on my Xbox One. My feet were propped up on my electrical fireplace. I hadn't heard of skinwalkers or wendigos unless you count the wendigos of Until Dawn. To be honest, I still don't know exactly what they are. Anyways, I'll get back to the story at hand. I was sitting on the floor with my headphones on as heat kicked up on the electric fireplace, playing Ark Survival Evolved on my Xbox One. I had been flying around in Ragnarok, chilling on my lightning wyvern with my Jerboa, when suddenly I hear loud banging. It was like someone or something was trying to bust open my door. Initially, I shrugged it off, continuing my flight back to base to grab my rock drake that I had bought from another player, when I heard it again, louder this time though, almost filling my ears. My cat, Yara, who had been sleeping on my chest, stood up. She looked kind of shaken and kind of disturbed. Me, being the 13-year-old female I was extremely sensitive there and yelped in pain, only to hear it repeatedly loudly from outside the house. I lived in the basement, so I grabbed my cat, turned off my game, and called for my 7-month-old Malamute Wrigley. I heard her name reaped over and over, but she only barked towards the sound. I snuggled into my blanket and walked upstairs. As I neared closer, the sound was louder and louder. I looked outside and was met with the most horrifying sight I had ever seen in my entire life. Wrigley barked wildly. Yara hissed from my arms. The flashlight of my phone shone into its eyes, showing an animal-like glowing groan on the tight-skinned humanoid. Its jaws creaked open, and almost immediately, it repeated my blood-curdling scream in a throaty voice. I ran back downstairs. I'm still there, rocking back and forth, my animals next to me. If you know what to do or what I should do, please tell me. The banging is louder and louder. There is a mix of barking and screaming. I'm alone as my parents work night shifts. I've seen a few of your videos, but what happens when this happens? What do I do? Please, somebody, give me some advice in the comments down below. Just 30 minutes ago, I saw something I cannot comprehend. Now, I will explain what happened, but below I will provide some other information why I am dumbfounded. and maybe someone can help me ease this image out of my mind. This night was cold, dry, no wind, no moon, perfect for nocturnal predators. At 4 a.m., there are no cars, especially Friday night. As I came up a hill, with only empty fields on both sides of the road and shallow ditches, there was something on the left side of the road about 50 to 70 feet in front of my car. Then I saw a four-legged gray thing dash across the road in an instant. It was so fast it blurred in my headlights. It was something low to the ground, and I cannot stress how fast this was. It was there, and then boom, it's gone. This creature was either running after or from something. I must have gone into an instinctive mode, as I came to my senses 5 miles down the road. Looking at myself, the car was going 80 miles per hour, eyes darting back and forth from the mirror to the road, radio off, and both hands gripping the wheel tight as hell. I tried to relax, but the moment of crossing, whatever that thing was, kept playing in my mind. Now, more details. Driving home from work on the highway going 75, 10 above the actual speed limit, light beams on, no cars in sight, Nebraska winters are mixed bag. Sometimes it is 50 degrees at night and sometimes it's negative 30. Tonight it was a nice negative 9. I have lived here for 23 years, the same time, about 45 minutes outside of Lincoln. The drive home is familiar, as I have been down it since the day I was born. I work nights as a tradesman in Lincoln, Nebraska. We get off at 2:30 a.m. normally, but I was close to finishing a job, so I didn't want the daytime people to have to finish it, so I stayed till 3:20. I was drinking an energy drink because I normally go to bed at 8 a.m., and I was sober, so there was no impairment on my eyes. Now, a possible animal explanation was the largest native animals are deer and mountain lions or cougars, whatever you want to call them. Well, the latter is so rare, especially in my area, we haven't had a real sighting in over 15 years. As for deer, well, they're normally asleep at this time. Across at flat tops or in low valleys near tree lines or brush, deer are more sporadic during mating season, the rut as we call it, and harvesting season. Well, it's neither of those. Also, deer are less active when it's below 20 degrees, especially when it's close to zero, and when it's cold they normally are in a herd. Plus, the animal was faster than all native animals and bigger. The color of gray doesn't match up either. If you made it to the very end, thank you for reading, and thank you, Swamp, for allowing me to share this on your show. I'm afraid to sleep, and I am jumpy as hell now ever since this. Please help me out here, guys. Please comment down below, letting me know what this might have been. So this takes place in what my friend and I estimate to be the early 1900s. It happened to one of his old relatives. We'll name him Tom, after returning home from a family gathering. In order to get back home, Tom had to traverse a large forested area. Tom did not own a car since this was a very, very rural area in Georgia, so he rode a horse. Along the way, it began to storm heavily, and Tom spotted an abandoned chapel that he took shelter in. Not long after entering the chapel, Tom began to hear strange sounds coming from the ceiling of the building. He looked up and noticed something dart across the pillars that supported the church. He ducked down behind one of the rotting pews and continued watching the figure. It eventually came into view, and he got a good look at it. It was large, black, and hairy with long arms that looked to be claws. It was swinging from the beams with extreme ease. Tom began to get scared, so he tried to creep out of the door of the church, but before he made it, the creature noticed him. As soon as the two made eye contact, he ran outside and got on his horse. He rode off as fast as he could through the storm. He turned around to see if it was following him and saw it perched up on top of one of the trees next to the church. That's the last he ever saw of it. My friend and I have tried to come up with possible explanations. The most logical one we could think of is that it could have been a gibbon. Gibbons are fairly large, hairy, and have long arms that they do use to swing from trees with a lot of speed and agility. The claws may have just been imagined by Tom in the heat of the moment, but If it really was a gibbon, how would it have gotten in rural Georgia in the early 1900s? If you guys have any other explanations, I'd love to hear them. A while back, I went with my church youth group on a camp out in the Unitas. They all set up tents and hammocks or sleep in their trucks. Me being the stupid 16-year-old boy from Utah, I completely forgot to pack a tent. All I had was my sleeping bag in my pack. Luckily enough, someone who must have previously camped here set up a bundle of sticks against a pine tree, making a sort of doorway for a little hut-like structure. I squatted down and walked right in. Not too shabby, I thought to myself. There was a lot of legroom. I wouldn't even need to curl up. The roots of the tree bulged out on the ground enough to even grow in a pattern that fit my body shape. The pine needles were close enough to the ground to keep out the cold winds, so I laid my sleeping bag down and put my pack near where I'd be laying my head down to use for a pillow and join the other boys at the fire, and to make some food. So, that night I was eager to get to bed, as I was excited for what we had planned the next day, hiking and shooting clay pigeons. Naturally, the inconsiderate neighboring campers were drunk and pissed off at each other. So for the next 3 hours, I was listening to some random guy's girlfriend go full on Blair Witch Project on his butt, but was able to pass out around 1 in the morning, luckily. Sometime roughly around 4:30 a.m., I wake up to the sound of nothing. There's not a single sound out there. No crickets, no birds. There were some dogs the night before, and even they weren't making a peep. I feel the urge to look up, but my gut instincts tell me not to. The urge gets stronger and stronger every second, though. Almost like something was trying to Jedi mind trick me into looking at whatever was above me. I almost have an anxiety attack that would lead me into an hysteria and shortness of breath. Anxiety, depression, and night terrors seemed to run in my family, so things got a little worse when I felt spittle drip down the side of my head and down my neck. I heard a major growl noise just above me, and it echoed in my chest and rattled my ribcage. I found myself starting to crane my head back up to look, but I turned onto my stomach and closed my eyes as tight as I could. It felt like hours that I sat there trying to not freak out, but it was probably only a couple of minutes before I fell asleep once again. In the morning, I didn't say anything to any of my friends. They are Mormon, so often they say that God can make anything possible, but I heavily believe in skinwalkers and things like that, and don't think they'd take me seriously when I said one stalked me while I was asleep. I would have been dismissed as maybe it was a nightmare, but when I went to get my pack, my sleeping bag, and other stuff, there was a human-like handprint in the dirt just above where I had my head, and from the look of it, had elongated claws almost like a werewolf. I nearly broke down, and I felt the side of my head. It was still wet from the saliva. It's safe to say, I wouldn't go back there if you paid me. I'm just surprised it hasn't been following me ever since. About 6 years ago, over the summer of my junior year, going into my senior of high school, I experienced something that I can't quite shake off to this day. My friend's parents were going out of town for the weekend. So, myself and 3 others, including Matt, planned a sleepover so we could all hang out and be as loud as we wanted to. We slept over at my friend Matt's house. His house was located on the east side of town where the small wooded area was located. I mentioned this area in a previous story that I sent in, about a scream that I had heard in my house coming from those woods. That night, we all mentioned how we would sleep on this trampoline since it was warm that night and none of us had done it before. Matt was a little concerned with the idea because he had mentioned that homeless people had sometimes, you know, be out there. There was no fence separating us from the woods or anything, so he was a little nervous about that. So anything could go in and out of the yard, including deer if they wanted to. I told him we were going to be fine, and that there was nothing to worry about. And boy, did I wish I could take that statement back this day. We started setting up our spots on the tramp, getting cozy and just hanging out, looking at our phones. About an hour into this, I started to hear twigs snapping and leaves crunching. Matt was the only one who wasn't on the trampoline, but sitting on a small river donut on the deck next to the trampoline. He was sitting on this due to an injury that happened to him a few weeks prior to these events. I was looking at Matt while this was happening, and he was looking into the woods. He didn't say anything other than a quiet, "I told you this was a bad idea." I kept listening for a few moments, and then it stopped. My friends were all listening too, but they didn't seem concerned. It was really quiet after it stopped. None of us said a thing. We all looked back on our phones, and then that's when I saw it. The second my eyes met my phone, I saw from my peripheral vision this 7 to 8 foot tall thing running out of the woods, into the backyard, and darted to the side of the house. We all saw the silhouette of whatever it was. It was almost as if it was ghostly. It was extremely slim and bipedal. Here's the kicker though. We saw it run, but we did not hear it run. It made zero sound when it was moving, but it made the motion of someone running. When we saw this, we all did the exact same thing. We screamed and ran off the trampoline. Matt was the first one inside, and I was surprised he was even able to walk, let alone run, because of his injury. We left some blankets and pillows outside because we were in such a hurry. We shut and locked the sliding door, all the windows and doors we could find, and kept looking out some of the windows to see if we could see anything, but there was nothing that we could see. Because we were so startled, we stayed up until sunrise before finally getting some sleep. I think about what happened at an almost daily basis. Thanks for listening to these creepy, cryptid creature stories. If you enjoyed them, please hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes. If you're new to the swamp, why not join and hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a cryptid story or something completely different, I would love to see it. Be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. If you guys aren't aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, and pretty much everywhere else you can find podcasts. I upload exclusive things there too that you would never find on the channel, so it's definitely a cool place to check out. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.